Well, good morning, Sugar Creek family. How's everybody doing today? Good. I got some excited people over here. Are you guys asleep over here? Let me try it again. How's everybody doing this morning? Good, good, good. The name of God is worthy to be praised. Oh, this left side has got to catch up. I said the name of God is worthy to be praised. Can we praise him for the next 5 seconds because he is worthy of our praise and glory? Come on, we can do a little bit better than that. He woke us up this morning, started us on our way. He saved us from a life of sin. Is he not worthy to be praised today? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time of having an audience of one with you. Thank you for what you've done in our lives. We are so grateful for who you are to us. Speak to us in this time. Don't let us be the same as a result of the power of your word. And it's in the name above every name we pray. And that is Jesus the Christ. And everybody said, amen. Well, welcome to Sugar Creek Baptist Church. Thank you so much for being here in the room and everyone that's joining us online from the comfort of your bed or your couch or your home. I'm jealous. But thank you for joining us. I'm really excited for the opportunity to share with you this morning. I've been here almost 3 years at Sugar Creek Baptist Church. Only one person is excited. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate that. You're going to be my amen corner today, okay? All right. Thank you, sir. I just need y'all to catch up with Jason. You'll be all right, okay? But I'm really excited about this opportunity. I thought that Pastor and I were really building a relationship, thought that we were really getting close and talking in closer proximity. And then he gave me this scriptural text to preach this morning, and I'm not sure if he likes me at all. So you guys pray with me through this. It's a great opportunity because we're starting a new sermon series this week, a new sermon series entitled The Church We Choose to Be. The Church We Choose to Be. We're very careful not to say the church that God wants us to be, because all of us know the desire that God has for us. But the question is, are we choosing what God desires us to be? Right. So we're going to talk about the church that God, that we choose to be. We're going to use this framework from Revelation, the second and the third chapter, that speaks about the seven churches of Asia. It's going to show us some of their downfalls that I believe should show or should serve as a mirror for us to be able to see ourselves. But before we can get into the second and third chapter, we need to go to the first chapter. And that's my assignment for today. In the first chapter of Revelation, we see the full portrayal, the full picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Anybody ever been to a reveal party? Reveal party. Can you raise your hand if you've been to a reveal party? Reveal party. Good, 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 good. My son is now 4 years old. Johnny Moore the Fourth. It was easy. Just name him after me. Johnny Moore the Fourth. And before we had his reveal party, we went to several doctor's appointments, and I had the privilege of seeing the picture of his sonogram. He was yawning and stretching and smiling, Paula. He was having a great time in there. It looked like a party. And after that, I got to hear his heartbeat. Man, I felt such joy. My heart was filled. I was overwhelmed with emotions, and that doesn't happen often. And just seeing the picture of my soon-to-be-born son, hearing his heartbeat. And while I thought that would be the greatest emotion I would ever experience as it pertained to my son, June the 2nd, 2020, a little bit after 8:30 p.m., Johnny Moore the Fourth was born. Not only was he born, I was able to hold him in my hands. The connection. The feeling that I had to hold him close to me far exceeded the picture that I saw on a sonogram or even the heartbeat that I heard. It was the close proximity that I had with my son that I had seen and heard. It was a connection that I had not experienced before. Dare I submit to you this morning for your careful consideration that you've seen pictures of Jesus. You've heard sermons preached about him, but maybe you don't have a full picture of who he is because you lack the close proximity that offers you a connection point that you've never had in your life. And the book of Revelation is an apocalyptic book. It's just a big word of saying it reveals to us, it unveils to us a prophecy that is given to every creature, every human being. It's penned by John. John is one of the final apostles that is on earth. Everyone else has died away. And now, because he is a follower of Jesus Christ and he didn't care who knew it, he was not ashamed of it. He is sent to prison on an island of Patmos. And there, we see the first chapter of Revelation. It gives us a full picture of who Jesus Christ is. Can we jump into this now? The book of Revelation. Thank you, Jason. It'll just be me and you. The book of Revelation, Jason. The book of Revelation, the first chapter, says something pretty clear to me in the third verse. It pronounces a blessing over us. This is what Revelation 1 and 3 is. It's your first fill in the blank. It says, blessed. Everybody shout, blessed. Blessed. That wasn't everybody. I said, everybody shout, blessed. Blessed. Yeah. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. The time is near. The coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is near. And if you hear the words of this prophecy, if you open up your heart to what he is saying, he will pronounce a blessing over your life. Not because of the preacher, not because of the pastor, not even because of the passage, because of your acceptance of the prophecy and the word of God. He says through Revelation that we can experience a blessing because of this prophecy. John, even though he is blessed, he is incarcerated. The Bible says that he is on this island of Patmos, and he is there surrounded by other criminals. While being surrounded by other criminals, left for dead, verse 10 said something that absolutely blew my mind, Joe. Can I tell you what it says? It says in Revelation, the first chapter and the 10th verse, on the Lord's day, I was in the spirit. He's incarcerated, left for dead, excommunicated from all of his family and friends. The rest of the apostles are now dead. And he says, on the Lord's day, Sunday, I was in the spirit. I wasn't in a place of depression. I wasn't in a place of loneliness, but I was in the spirit. And I had to ask a question to the text this morning. What allows a man that is laying and sitting on death row to be in the spirit? Can I tell you what it was? It was because he had an unwavering praise to God. Because it is our praise and worship to God that allows us to experience a doorway into his presence. Our praise should not be contingent upon how good or how bad things are going. Our praise should not only be when we receive a promotion on our job or a new car in our garage or more money in the bank. But our praise and worship to God is not for what he can give us, but for who he is. When was the last time? I'm too excited. When was the last time? When was the last time you woke up in the morning and you were overwhelmed with praise and worship as a result of you thinking on the goodness of Jesus and all of the things that he has done for you and how he allowed you to experience the activities of your limbs? I'm going to keep preaching to this left side until y'all say amen. When was the last time we gave him praise and worship, not for what he can do through his hand, but through who he is in our lives? I believe that every one of us should resolve today and forevermore that our praise should never stop because of bad situations. This is what the psalmist David says in Psalm 34 and 1. It's interesting that he pins this verse while in the cave of Adullam. This is what he says. I will bless the Lord. You miss it. He is not talking to you. He is talking to himself because his situation seems dark. His situation seems bleak. It does not seem like he has a way out, but he talks to himself. Every now and then, you ought to be crazy enough to talk to yourself and say, I will bless the Lord. I may be going through, but I will bless the Lord. I still have questions of uncertainty, but I will bless the Lord. How many times? At all times. And his praise will continuously be in my mouth. That doesn't mean that I go around just saying it all the time. Sometimes our praise is seen louder through our lifestyle. What if it were possible that your praise and worship in here is not comparable to your life of praise and worship out there? Uh-oh. So he tells us that I need to praise him, bless him at all times. And I believe if we resolve to have this mindset of praise and worship, it will be the doorway to be in his presence. Why is that important, Johnny? I'm glad you asked. Because God wants to change our perilous predicament into a life-changing experience. Many of us want to have an experience with God, but many of our life-changing experiences with God come through bad situations. You never know him to be a healer until you're sick. You never know him to be a provider until you stand in a place of lack. So God wants to twist. God wants to turn. God wants to flip that perilous predicament that you're facing right now into a life-changing experience with him. Don't ask that God would take you out of it. Ask that God would allow you to see him while you're still in it. Thank you, three Hebrew boys, that allowed praise and worship to happen not outside of the fiery furnace, but they were delivered while still inside of it. God wants to set you free in a way that you've never experienced while you remain in it. Because true deliverance happens intrinsically, never happens extrinsically. This is why John can write a word of encouragement through Revelation while all the while being on the island of Patmos. Because God wants to change even a perilous predicament into a life changing experience with us. Let's get into the word, because you're tired of me talking. The book of Revelation, the first chapter, I believe, gleans three points that I want to highlight this morning that reveals to every person, the believer and the non-believer. So many depictions in this picture of who Jesus is. It is careful to note that the book of Revelation is not a puzzle that is meant to be pieced together. Rather, it is a picture that is to be unveiled. It's not for you to put it together as one piece after the other, but he wants to show you more about who he is in your life, who he wants to be in your life. And through this revelation, he reveals some things to us. Can I show you the first thing he reveals to us? Revelation reveals his purity. Can everyone say purity? That's not everybody. I said, say purity. That's still not everybody. I said, Revelation wants to reveal his purity. Everyone say purity. Purity. Why is that important? Why is that important, Johnny? His purity is seen in verse 14. For it depicts the color of his hair to be white as snow. Johnny, why is that important? You must understand the Old Testament context. Before we had a Savior in Jesus Christ, the priest would have to go into the Holy of Holies and present a sacrifice. This sacrifice had to be perfect. It had to be pure. If it was meant to have four legs, it couldn't have three. If it was meant to have two eyes, it couldn't have one. It had to be the absolute best sacrifice that they could render for the atonement, for the forgiveness of their sin. Spoiler alert. 2,000 years ago, the perfect sacrifice, the purest sacrifice, was seen in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He could not use David because he had blood on his hands. He could not use Moses because he got tipsy too much. He could not use any other individual that we read about in the Bible because their life was imperfect and it was foul, it was flawed. But he said, I had to send my son because he was perfect and pure. And today we worship him because he is a risen Savior, but not only a risen Savior, but he is a perfect and pure Savior. So Revelation reveals his purity. Number two, it reveals his vision. Everybody say vision. Vision. Revelation reveals his vision. Same verse, verse 14 says that his eyes being like blazing fire. The word blazing here means piercing. Piercing. Able to see through you. Able, ladies, to see past your MAC makeup. Able to see through those lashes. Able to see through your suit, your jacket, your wonderful clothing. Able to see past your financial portfolio. Able to see through all of your degrees. He is able to see your heart. Your heart. Not the muscle that dwells in your thoracic cavity. No. He's able to see the very substance of who you are. Your true motives. Your true desires. The truth about you. Not what you show the pastor. Not what you show parishioners. No, he's able to see the truth about you. And this is the shouting good news. Are you ready for it? Even though he can see through every shortcoming, every flaw that you have, every mistake that you made, every sin that you committed, he still loves you. Man. He still cares for you. More than a little pitter-pat that you just gave him. He still loves you so much that God sent his son to this earth, not for himself, but for you. To die on a cross so that you can have a release from sin. So that you can experience a life of salvation. This revelation reveals to us, number one, his purity. Number two, his vision. I like this one, y'all. It reveals his power. Everyone say power. Power. I need you to say it like you're powerful. Say power. Come on, I need you to say it like you're taller than me. Say power. Power. Thank you so much. Revelation reveals his power. It's right there in verse 14. It says that Jesus' voice is like rushing water that speaks to the power of his voice. Several weeks ago, we had a hurricane. And while I was in my home, my son was there sleeping in his bed, and he comes to my door and he knocks on the door and he says, Daddy, can I come in the room with you? Now I have a rule. You sleep in your bed, I sleep in mine. Because I actually want to sleep. Anybody have a toddler like me? That you know you're not going to get any sleep. If they sleep in the bed with you, somehow his foot ends up in my neck. And I'm looking to experience the perfect peace of God, but I can't while he's in my bed. So I went to buy him a bed. So I can get some sleep. And he's knocking on my door. He is afraid because he hears the power of thunder. If you've ever been to the Niagara Falls, anyone that's been there, they say the sound of Niagara Falls is deafening. If I have any audio engineers in here, the decibel rate of the Niagara Falls is up to 95. It's comparable to thunder. It blots out every other sound, anything else that is in your presence. It is totally overwhelming. And at that time, my son was overwhelmed by the power of thunder. And let me tell you, child of God, his name is not just powerful, but his voice is powerful. His voice is powerful. His power, the power of his voice produces salvation. It is power to redeem. It is power to save. It is power to restore. It is power to reconcile. It is power to bring in your wayward child. It is power to heal your body. It is power to heal your emotions. It is power to bring peace to your mind. It is power for whatever you stand in the need of. At the name of Jesus is the power that you need. But we need a connection to the source of power that lies in Jesus Christ. Your vacuum cleaner doesn't work unless it's connected to a source of power. Your source of faith doesn't work unless it's connected to Jesus the Christ. It's not based on your bank account. It's not based on your political party. It's not based on anything that we resolve in our minds. But at the name of Jesus, we will see deliverance in our country, deliverance in our communities, deliverance in our families, deliverance in our minds. But it's only through the power of Jesus Christ. Revelation reveals his purity. I only got one more point. Then you go to brunch. His revelation reveals his vision. Thirdly, his revelation reveals his power. Fourthly, finally, revelation reveals our proper posture. Our proper posture. I'm still in the text. Verse 17 says that John fell as he were dead, in full reverence and respect and honor to him. You see, when he came into the presence of God, it was not lackluster. When he came into the presence of God, it was not anything that was easily glossed over, because he saw Jesus in a new light. And you must understand that John walked with him for 3 years, but now a new picture is revealed to him. And at that new picture, at that new revelation, he is lying prostrate because he sees Jesus in a different light. So you ask Johnny, what is the proper posture? I'm glad that you asked. For the Bible says in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, the 10th and the 11th verse, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That Jesus Christ is Lord. I'll say it until you get it. That Jesus Christ is Lord. That Jesus Christ is Lord. That Jesus Christ is Lord. He is serious. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. Christ is the anointed one. He is the one that was entered into this earth that had an anointing to break yokes over our lives. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. It's not anything to be played with, Pastor Gary. He's not anything to be taken lightly. He is Lord. He is Lord. What does it mean for him to be Lord? That means he rules and he reigns over us. Many of us want the provision of God, but don't want to follow the direction of God. Let me say that again. Many of us want the provision of God, but don't want to follow the direction of God. Because I have a toddler, I have stories for days. My son asked me just the other week, Daddy, I want a guitar. Daddy, I want a guitar. And because he's 4, and obviously he thinks I'm hard of hearing, he said it again, Daddy, I want a guitar. That's what I said. Johnny, if you go to school every day this week, I promise you, by Friday, you'll have that guitar. If you go and obey the teacher, lay down at nap time. I don't care if you go to sleep, just lay down. Don't steal anyone's toys. I don't know where he got that from. But if you'll obey the instruction of the teacher, at the end of the week, Daddy, will get you that toy. Daddy will get you that guitar. Your daddy left some instructions, left some rules for you. And he's saying to you, child of God, if you'll obey the instruction I left for you, I promise that at the end of time, when you see my face, you'll see it in peace. Because everyone will see him, but everyone won't see him in peace. Only the believer will see his face in peace. If you're an unbeliever, you'll see his face in terror. It's judge and executioner, because you did not open up your heart and accept him and receive him into your life. I'm done, but with the clock on the wall, I have very little time, but I need to appeal to someone that feels like you're closer to God than you really are. Because John was handpicked by Jesus. John was a disciple. He walked with him and saw miracles. But even at the sight, this new revelation of Jesus, he realizes that my posture needs to change. My arrogance needs to change. My places of pride in my life needs to change. My place of judgment of others needs to change. And through this revelation, I need to give my life to him. It will be a sad day in time when you see the face of Jesus and he will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you. Hear this, hear this. The Creator tells his creation, I don't know you. How important is it for us to get the revelation of who God is through Jesus Christ? He sent me to tell you today that there's more of a picture that is to be revealed to you of who he wants to be in your life, of how he wants you to serve him. And if you have not given your life to Christ, today is your reveal day. Today is a day where you go past the pictures that you see on the screens or the stories that you've heard in worship service, and you actually open up your heart and let him in. Romans 10 and 9 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, he will come into your life and save you from all of your sins. But if you've given your life to Christ and you don't have the right relationship that you once had, today is also your reveal day. Today is also your day to see him in a different way. And when I see him in a different way, my actions will change. At some point, we should do right because it's right to do, and not the fear of the consequence of doing wrong. No, no, husband, you're not faithful to your wife because the result could be divorce because of cheating. No, you're faithful to your wife because you love her. We're faithful to Jesus Christ because we love him, because he first loved us and he gave his life on a cross even though we were not worthy. He did not wait until we got things right, but he came to get things right in us. Wake up, church. Wake up, Sugar Creek. Thank you, baby. Now it's time to see him in a way we've never seen him before. I'm about to end this sermon, but the message is not done. Someone may need to give their life to Jesus Christ. I don't have time, but there are individuals in the Next Step Center that would love an opportunity. They're just standing there twiddling their thumbs, waiting on an opportunity to pray with you. Maybe you're struggling in your marriage. Maybe you're struggling with a teenager. Maybe you're struggling with health issues in your body. We just heard, it was just revealed to us, the power that's in his voice, that's in his name. His name is so powerful that you can say it and receive the benefit of who he is. There are individuals that are in the next steps that are waiting an opportunity to pray with you. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you've been struggling with, whatever you've been wrestling with, there is nothing too hard for God. Let this message reveal something new to you. This week, your challenge is to no longer magnify your problems over magnifying your God. It's time out for making your problems and your situations larger than your God. Because my Bible tells me greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this convicting yet compelling message that hopefully has spawned a new revelation of you in our lives. Thank you for your purity. Thank you for your vision. Thank you for your power that prompts the right posture in our lives. Let our hearts always be postured towards you. And from this day forward, give us strength, courage, and wisdom to follow you every step of the way. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.